If you have your Bibles, Leviticus chapter 23, we'll get right into it this morning. First, I want to say it's good to have our visitors with us this morning. We're glad you're here. And if this is your first time, you come at a good time. And so we want to just look at some things here about the end time events. And I've got to go fast. And so, because I want to get all this stuff in. And so, Leviticus chapter 23, give me an amen when you get there. We're going to read one verse there, but you'll be able to find it all right there in this chapter that we'll be talking about here. Here are the seven feasts of the Lord. And the seven feasts of the Lord are very important to the fulfillment of Jesus Christ and all that he would do for our salvation. The Jews are still trying to figure out where the Messiah is. And so it's amazing to me that they do not know and realize that many of these feasts have been fulfilled. I want you to recognize that the Jewish calendar is different than our Gregorian calendar, or the calendar that we use here as Gentiles in America and the Western part of the world, if you would. And so each day could start on a different day, like Easter. Our Easter sometimes is early, sometimes Easter is later on in the spring. So the days can fluctuate a little bit. And so each new season of each new feast that begin in the spring, like the Passover, the Feast of the Passover, that can fluctuate from day to day. And so they make out this calendar of where each moon sets in or begins a new moon, the crescent moons and different things like that. They tell the signs and the times of the seasons. And so there's a variation in times. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle shall pass, and no wise from the law until it's all be fulfilled." He says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least of the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And so there's a purpose for every little mark at the top of a Hebrew letter. In other words, every dot, every comma, every T that's crossed, every I that's dotted. God said there's a purpose for everything I say in my book. And just because something has not come to pass yet, I promise you it will come to pass. And that's why he said, do not change the laws. Because we and the Jews are measuring what God will do by every little letter he has given us. This is not just something thrown up in the air. We're just trying to figure out, hey, it looks like it. No, God is saying, I have set these feasts and these promises at certain seasons so you can mark and measure and see every one of them coming. So look at verses. And so we see the obedience for Israel. Look at verse. We'll just take up verse 37 in Leviticus 23. This whole chapter is about the seven feasts. Actually, there's eight, but that the eighth day is a day of celebration. So verse 37 says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim, and be holy convocations," or holy meetings, holy assemblies, "to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offerings, everything upon his day." The first day is the day of Passover. In Leviticus 23:5, in the 14th day of the month, even is the Lord's Passover. I want you to notice that these are the Lord's feast. They're not Israel, not ours, they're the Lord's. And it's about the Lord. And the first feast is the Passover feast. You know what the Passover feast is. That's where Israel was to bring in their lamb, and they were to keep it 2 weeks, and after that they were to sacrifice that, take its blood and put over the mantle and the doorpost. And the Lord says that when I come by in the night, the death angel, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is a feast of Passover. This has already been fulfilled. When was it fulfilled? The death of Jesus Christ on the cross. So way back there, 3,000 years ago, or however long it was during the days of Moses, God was telling them exactly what the crucifixion would be. Yeah. He is the Lamb of God. Yeah. And when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. Amen. And so you see the importance of them keeping the Passover from year to year to year to year to year. And when they got to 2,000 years ago, when the Lamb of God came, it just went right over their head. And they're still doing the Passover waiting for the Messiah. But that has been fulfilled. That's done. Okay? And so let's move on here. We find that the next one is the unleavened bread feast. Leviticus 23:6, and on the 15th day of the same month, so the same just a week later, or a couple days later, it is the feast of the unleavened bread unto the Lord. In 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Now leaven is sin. And so when they were to come out, they were to not put any leaven or yeast in their dough, because they did not have time to let that dough rise, because they were coming out of Egypt very quickly. And so this is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What is that? That is to take sin out of your life. I'm going to remove sin out of your life. And so we find that they had this hasty departure from Egypt. And so this leaven is the type of sin. So during this whole week, there was no leaven in their bread. Even today, the Jews, even in America, the Jews that observe the Jewish holidays and the Jewish feasts, they get all the potato chips, they get all the donuts, they have to get all of that out of their house for 7 days to observe the unleavened bread feast. And so when Jesus came, he is the taker away of sin. And so this connection to Jesus is the bread of life. He is the sacrifice for humanity's sin. And so it's during this time that you've heard the word matzah. That's what the Jewish people eat. They take the leavened bread. They're still doing this. When the rapture takes place and the church is out of here, the Jewish people will still be doing the Passover. They'll still be doing the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, because they have no clue. They will not recognize Christ as the Messiah. But the church realizes that he has already fulfilled these three feasts that we're talking about here. And then there's the next feast in verse 11 of the same chapter. And he shall wave the sheaf, or bundle of cut grain stalks, before the Lord to be accepted for you. And so this is the beginning of barley season. When they make this harvest, they'll take a bundle of grain and they would wave it before the Lord. This is their first fruit. This is the first harvest of my season. And so they bring it and they'd wave it before the Lord. Jesus Christ is our first fruits. How? He rose from the dead. He is the first fruits from the dead. And so the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ Jesus risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. It's very, very plain in the scripture. And so this feast represents the Lord's resurrection and the spiritual harvest of believers, which is going on right now. And we'll get into this. We got a long ways to go here, so don't think that we're missing anything, because I think we'll take care of it. Okay, so those three things have been taken care of. So we find here the Passover. Here's the little lamb picture here, Jesus on the cross. Here is the unleavened bread, a piece of bread being torn. Jesus is in the tomb taking care of our sin. There's no yeast, no sin, no leaven in the bread. Jesus is in the tomb. Here is the first harvest. Here's some wheat. And there Jesus is rising from the dead. Amen. So that fulfills all of the three feasts. Isn't it amazing how God years ago has prepared us for this? Okay, so the next feast is the 50-day feast, the Feast of Weeks. Very interesting. Here's where the church is right now. So in the spring, Israel, or the Jewish people, observe all of these weeks. They come, they're in the spring and they come together. This sets by itself in the summer. And then when this is done, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles come. But right here is where the church is right now. This has not been fulfilled yet, the Feast of Trumpets. Now I want you to just think for a minute. Paul said at the last trump, the dead shall rise. There'll be 100 trumpets that are sounded here. This starts in September, the evening of the 22nd. It's been like that for thousands of years. What makes it any different this year? I'm going to tell you why it makes a difference. But here's the church. If there's this long interval where we are at, we're waiting. Why can't we get to this fulfillment yet? The church age, which is a mystery, Paul said, unto the world. Let me show you this menorah. I might need that in a minute. Isn't it amazing here? Some say that this is the seven spirits of the Lord, what we find in the book of Revelation. We find some say this is the 6 days of creation, the seventh day God rests. But also, it can be the seven feasts of the Lord. So we find that's interesting there. Isn't it amazing how everything has a meaning and a purpose to the Lord? Amen. So look at verse 16. Verse 16 of Leviticus 23. Even unto tomorrow, after the seventh Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baking with leaven. Okay, so now we God says put leaven in the bread. That's really weird. They are the first fruits of the Lord. So let us think about this for a minute. Now, this is where we're going to slow down just for a minute. The word Pentecost means 50. That's why it's called the day of Pentecost, the day of 50, the 50th day. When Jesus arose from the dead, say amen if you know he rose from the dead. Amen. Okay, when he arose from the dead that day, he told his disciples, I'll meet you in Jerusalem, I'll meet you here and there. And Jesus walked with the disciples for 40 days. Then he tells his disciples when he goes, the Bible says that they're watching him go up into heaven, and there were 2 angels. And the angel says, why are you staring up, gazing up? The same Jesus shall come back in the same manner. But Jesus said to go and wait until you are endued with power from on high. So they go into this upper room and they wait 10 days. And 10 days, which equals Pentecost, which equals 50 days. There's where the church begins. The Holy Spirit comes and fills men and women with the power of God. But during this feast, there are 2 loaves of bread, these giant loaves of bread that the priests, the Levites, have baked. And they come out, Brother Trent, and they wave it before the Lord. And they have sin in them. They have leaven in them. Some believe that is speaking of the Jews and the Gentiles at this moment can be born again. The leaven in this bread is an indication that the church still has sin in her, but there's coming a day when we are resurrected from the dead or brought up to see the Lord that all of our sin is taken away. So the unleavened bread was what? It was a picture of Jesus without sin. But the day of Pentecost, when we receive the Spirit of God, we're saved. He says to put leaven in the bread because it's a picture of us that are saved, but we haven't been rid of all of our sin yet, but one day we'll be made perfect. And it was on this day that Peter preached when Pentecost came. Remember Peter stood up and he preached? He said, you men of Galilee, these guys ain't drunk with wine, but this is a prophecy of what the Lord had said. And 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church at that day. And today, the church is still being added to, and it continues to grow. And so we're in this long interval, and it sets itself, as I said, in the summer months by itself. It's between the spring, which is we observe Easter, but it's the Passover, the unleavened bread, and the first fruits. And then we have this Feast of Weeks in the middle, and then we're coming up on the last three. And that is coming in September. So let's look at the Feast of Trumpets. Thank you, Brother Eric. You can put that up there. The Feast of Trumpets. If you look at Leviticus 23-24, speaking to the children of Israel, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, and ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing trumpets and holy convocation, a holy assembly, a holy meeting. These next three feasts that are attached to the trumpets come right one after another, and it starts in September. And so they will gather together into Jerusalem, all the Jews, during back in the Bible times, and they would come all together, and they would stay, and they would observe all of these feasts together. And so at the beginning, they begin to blow what is called the shofar. A shofar is a ram's horn. And the ram horn is a picture of the horn that when Abraham went up on Mount Moriah to offer his son Isaac, there was a ram caught in the thicket, and God said, an angel said, don't hurt the lad, and they killed the ram and offered it instead of Isaac. Now the horn they always use is a picture of Jesus Christ, who was killed or sacrificed for us instead of our sons and daughters. Amen. And so the Feast of the Trumpets is the Lord's horn blowing. And there's approximately 100, all day long, starting at the evening of the 22nd of September until the evening of the 24th, they will blow these trumpets. And somewhere in the evening of the 24th, there will be a last trumpet blown. And so this day marks the day of the new beginning. This is the time of the beginning of the new year for Israel. Please don't get bored right here. I used to get bored when I thought about these feasts. I thought, man, what are these feasts? What are these things? God, man, he packed a lot of truth in these things. And so you and I need to try to get this. And so this is the beginning of their new year, a new beginning. And if the rapture takes place this September, it is a new beginning. It's a new beginning for us, but also it's a new start for what's going to happen in the world. And so, September 22nd, the evening, and so there'll be these blasts. Here's what Paul said. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. I believe Paul's talking about the Feast of Weeks. I think he's talking about the time of the church, because the church was a mystery. Really, the prophets, no one really knew about this church period, this church time, the graciousness of God, the age of grace that the church is living in. It's a mystery. Paul said, here's the mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, say the last trump. There will be a last trump this September at the Feast of Trumpets, which is likened unto a new beginning and a call to God's people to come to Him. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Whoever has died will be raised first. The Bible says, for the Lord himself, say the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, with the trump of God, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. We're supposed to be comforted at the thought he's coming to get us. Now, I've said this the Wednesday night, that we are called up in the clouds. That doesn't mean the Lord's going to be in the clouds. I always thought we'd just meet the Lord in the clouds. But the Bible says that we will be called up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So maybe the Lord's not coming into our heavens, if you would, of earth yet. This is not the second coming of the Lord. That's why people get confused about, oh, every eye is going to see him. This is not the time that every eye is going to see him. Remember, when Jesus rose from the dead, the only people that saw him, above 500, the disciples, were born again saved people. Now, if you look back, Paul saw him before Paul, was saved. I understand all that stuff. But really, it's just to the church. Nobody's going to see him. This is a time for us to be ready and to love to see him. And he's going to come back and get us. But those that are lost have never seen him yet. Now I want to address something that is very, very controversial. And that is, no one knows the hour or the day that the Lord will come. I've always said that. And I thought, well, we just live life and go on through. We bump into the Lord, we'll bump into the Lord. But God don't want us like that. God didn't want us just to say, well, somewhere out there. God wants you to know almost the day and the hour that he's coming. He wants you to know that. He told Israel, he said, look at the fig tree. You can tell when it's coming into season. You know. When and I meant to look up with the nearness of Mary and that generation knowing that the Messiah was coming in that season when he came to Mary. They were looking for the Messiah to come. We are looking for Christ to come. And if he comes this September, it ain't going to make God mad that we are waiting on him and preparing ourselves for him to come. That's what he expects. He wants to tell you. Now, you say, will he come this September? I don't know. You say, well, what if he doesn't come? Then everybody that's ever said he definitely is coming, God told me and I saw a dream. You need to shut up because you are a liar. The Bible says that a prophet is known by when the fulfillment of what he said comes to pass. If the Lord doesn't come this September, I'm going to still be saving for my Gibson guitar. Hallelujah. I might see it. But at this point, I may not have it. Amen. I'm making decisions these last couple weeks on certain things. We our car's messed up. And they said, do you want to have the Nissan starter put in? The Nissan starter was $900. It costs $1,800 to have a stinking starter put in a car. We should be able to do that for $89. Amen. They give you a free bucket of dab goo to wash your hands with. But the off-brand was $500. And so I was telling the wife, like, well, what are we going to do? She said, well, if the rapture's coming in September, we don't really need it to last as long as the Nissan. I said, put the aftermarket one in there, son. We're leaving here. The Bible says in, I want you to listen to this. Now this is, if you get this, then it'll help you. Jesus said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. He's talking back to the Jews during the law. He is living under the law 2,000 years ago. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth its leaves, you know what a tree looks like when it starts to bud. We're not ignorant. We know summer's coming. It's here. He said, you know the summer's nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all of these things, knowing that it is near, even at the doors, what things? Well, if you were right down Matthew chapter 24, the disciples come to him and they say, would you tell us what the events or the signs of the times of the end of the world is? And this is what he's talking about. And he gives them a list of things that will happen. Now, he's talking to them about things that are going to happen during the tribulation period. And a lot of people think that the moon ain't turned to blood and, the temple isn't built and all this other stuff. But this is the deal with the Jews. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. So Jesus said, when you start to see all these things come to pass that you know the summer is nigh and it's even at the doors. He says in verse 34, I say unto you that this generation, what generation? The generation that sees all these things coming to pass shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. A couple of things. We are in the 77th year of Israel becoming a nation in 1944. They did not, they were run out of their land 1900 years ago, and God brought them back to their land, and they didn't even have a military really to defend themselves, but God gave them a great victory in 1948, then again in 1967. And since 1948 to today, 2025, 77 years have passed. Wouldn't it seem appropriate for the Lord to come on a 77th? What is a generation? Man, I hear all kinds of silly things about a generation. 20 years, 30 years. But the Bible says that a generation is 70 to 80 years. If you live to 80, it'll take much sorrow and suffering. You know, the older you get, the more difficult it is. And so we can say that 70 to 80 years, the way I understand it, and I've understood that for some years, and I'm hearing a lot of other people like, yeah, that's what I think that it's talking about. Like, well, if it's a 20 years, then that's past. That generation's past, and God missed it. But I believe that we have 3 years left in this generation that saw Israel become a nation. You got 3 years left. Now, either God is not talking about that being a generation, or God is a liar. Or we're on the very doorstep of something that we can't even fathom, because we only know what we know in this life. So no man knoweth the day or the hour. What does that mean? Now I want you to remember this. Jesus is not talking to the Gentiles. In fact, when a Gentile tried to talk to him, he told that one Syrophoenician woman, the Gentile woman, he said, I'm not come for Israel. And I can't take their bread and give it to you. And that's where she said, well, at least we can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But Jesus was preaching to the Jews. And so when he said, no man knows the hour or the day, he is talking about when the trumpets should begin. And Israel looks at lunar signs. Here's what someone said. The phrase no man knows the day or the hour is reference to the Jewish holiday or holy day, Rosh Hashanah, also known as the Feast of Trumpets or Yom Terah. This is because the start of the Feast of Trumpets will be determined by the sighting of the new moon, and it could not be predicted with exact precision. And so the Jewish calendar is lunar, and at the beginning of each month, including the seventh month, which is September, this Feast of Trumpet falls. It is determined by the sighting of the new moon. And so two reliable witnesses had to observe and testify to the sighting of the new moon before the Sanhedrin or the Jewish court could officially declare the start of the new month, and consequently the Feast of Trumpets would then begin. So there's certainty due to the weather conditions. It took time for the witnesses to reach the Sanhedrin and the Sabbath, the exact day or the hour of the new moon's appearance, and therefore the start of Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of the Trumpets, was often unknown in advance. And this uncertainty led to the phrase, no man knows the day or the hour. It became a common idiom associated with the Feast of Trumpets. When Jesus said no man knows the hour or the day, see, that gives me rest. Because do you want me to know when you're coming, or don't you want me to know? To the lost, it's going to surprise them. This world's going to be turned upside down when 1 billion Christians leave here. It's going to be a mess. So this could be the very moment that no one really knows the day or the hour, because Jesus is saying, you know, the weathermen, you know, they say it's going to be rain today, and hopefully we get some rain. But I mean, the weathermen, they're not perfect, are they? I mean, we complain about them all the time, don't we? And so if we're relying on the weathermen to tell us exactly the day or the hour of when the new moon comes, I don't know. You may not see it. Who knows? You're just not sure. When the two witnesses go out there, they still do that. Then they will declare or blow the horn. The celebration starts here. I'm going to be watching the news, Lord willing. Hopefully Spectrum, my cable, doesn't go out. Hey, man, I'm glued to the TV. I want to watch this and see all of this coming to pass. Say amen if you're with me. And so, if this is the time that the Lord comes, we're here, maybe right there on that edge. The trumpets blow and the church is taken out of here. What happens next? Here's the tribulation period, the Day of Atonement. I want us to look at this next feast. This is the next feast in order. Remember, all of these are in order. This is the tribulation period. Well, this is what we believe is the tribulation period. Notice in verse 27 of Leviticus 23, also on the 10th day of this month, this is after the Feast of Trumpets, there shall be a Day of Atonement. And it shall be a holy composition, a solemn meeting unto you. Look, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So this is a day of solemn repentance, reflection. It's a day, a time for the atonement of sin. It's a day of introspection. It's seeking forgiveness. It's repentance. This is what this is the most solemn feast that Israel has. This is the most sacred day of the year. They fast, they pray, and they seek the Lord. This is the time, it looks like, between the rapture after the Feast of Trumpets begin on the evening, Lord willing, on the 22nd, begin there, and end on the 24th that evening. When we're taken out of here, here's where the Antichrist, the Mark of the Beast, all of the signs in chapter 24 of Matthew should or could be happening while we are gone to go stand before the Lord to give an account of our life, what we've done in our life, to go to the marriage supper, and then get on white horses or horses and follow the Lord back to this planet for His second coming. Every eye shall see Him. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. This will be the second coming. The rapture is not, or the catching away. People are like, well, the rapture ain't even in the Bible. That's what John Darby taught and all this. Okay, throw that out. Bible's not in the Bible either, but I love the Bible. Amen. But so this catching up, Paul said, we'll be called up. We'll be seized militarily. And God will say, come up here. Where did we see that in the Bible? After the age of the church in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation, chapter 4 says, John said, and I heard a voice that said, come up here. And he saw a door open into heaven. And so this Feast of Atonement. No, write this down. Zechariah 12:9 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. What do you think that's about? The Lord's going to come back, and when He comes back, they'll be gathered to make war against the Lord. Of course, they'll be coming against Israel too, and Ezekiel speaks about that in 38 and 39. But he also says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications, that they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem. Paul says in Romans 11:25, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of this mystery, lest ye shall be wise in your own conceit that, or because blindness is happened to Israel. Israel's blind until the day of the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so all of Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness of Jacob. The tribulation period is called Jacob's troubles. Daniel's seventh week. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Okay, now let's look at this last one, the Feast of the Tabernacles. What is the Feast of the Tabernacles? Very interesting here. Verse 34, speaking to the children of Israel, saying the 15th day of this month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the Feast of Booths for 7 days of the Lord. So the Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement is the tribulation period where they're weeping and mourning. They realize that, and I believe this, I believe there are going to be more people born again, saved, not with the Spirit, but saved like they were under the law, after the rapture happens. The moment the rapture happens, I believe that week you're going to have 1 billion people saved. And most of them will die. Some will be able to go through the tribulation period and walk through the millennial reign. And there's actually some days there, if y'all want to know, talk to me. Daniel gives us a few days after that, like 30 days, that doesn't make any sense. And then there's 45 days. It's like, where are these fit? And some believe it's a celebration of those of that made it through and a cleansing of the temple before Christ sits down in that seat. Amen. And so this Feast of the Tabernacles always follows this atonement. So the Feast of the Tabernacles is the return of the Lord. And so this Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews, they would come together, and this was a reminder of how God provided for Israel when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And for 40 years, they dwelt in booths, little tabernacles, you know, 1.5 million to up to 3 million people wandering in the wilderness. And how God, listen, Brother Don, not only was the children of Israel in booths and tents, but God was in a tent with them, wasn't he? The tabernacle tent. God was with them. And that's what the tabernacles mean. God's coming to, that's what he's speaking to, God being with us. And so some interpret this being the millennial reign when he comes out. Notice Revelation 21:3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, there's some indication to me that Israel, that this might be not the millennial reign, but after the Gog and Magog war, when the devil is unchained from the bottomless pit and he goes out and he gathers all nations, and the Bible says fire comes from heaven. Now, that's interesting. If Jesus is on the earth teaching us from Jerusalem, sitting in on his throne, why don't he just kill them? And remember, this is the dispensation of Israel. Fire comes from heaven. I believe the Father gets involved with it because he's fighting for Israel, which is his people. Amen. So I just thought that was just a little interesting tidbit there. And so the Lord comes and he dwells with us. It might be the millennial reign going into the millennium. Are y'all still with me? I think I'm throwing this stuff at you, and it's like crumbling up a bag of crackers and hoping you get one on your tongue. Micah 4:1 says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills. He's saying that Jesus will go to Jerusalem in this millennial reign, and people shall flow unto it. Brother Alex, you and I were talking about this. Where Brother Alex at? He out smoking? Oh, he's with the children? And he says, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, into the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path, for the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word from the Lord, from Jerusalem. So this is saying that when the millennial reign comes, that God, the devil goes and he tries to set in the temple. It doesn't necessarily have to be a temple. Let me say that. We always think that there has to be a temple built. And I was got to study and listen to some people on this. But it really doesn't say that we have to have one. I think what we're connected to is that the Antichrist, they allow Israel in the tribulation period to start offering sacrifices. Yeah. Let me get some of this stuff out. Right now you're seeing videos, you're seeing information about the red heifer that was offered. They say it was just a trial run. Now they're saying, no, it wasn't a trial run. It was the red heifer. It was pure. We had the ashes, and we have pure, holy men, because only those that are pure and holy, virgins, never been, no sin in their life as we would know it, they have to be those type of Levites that offer this ash to cleanse the temple. Now, who's to say that they cannot just move into the golden heights there where Abraham offered Isaac? Why can't you just put a throne in there for time being? I mean, we're all waiting for the temple to be built. And there's some meetings coming right now in September. Guess what day the meetings start in September? The 23rd. The 23rd, the UN will be meeting on their 80th annual session. 80 is that of a generation. Boy, I'm telling you what, you better just go ahead and zip your pants up and button up. I don't know where that came from. How about tie your shoes? All right, so now let's move away from this. That's all I want to say about that for right now. Why would we think that this is any different than any other year? You know, we had 2022, we had 2019, we had 1950, 1960. They've been doing it for thousands of years. Why is this different? Here's where I want to get to you at. Some folks believe that the Bible speaks of what is called covenant theology. I believe in dispensations in the Bible. There was a dispensation of the day of innocence for Adam and Eve. That didn't apply to the next generation. Don't y'all eat the tree. What tree? Amen. It was only Adam and Eve. They were innocent. That was what they were supposed to do. Then we moved to the day of consciousness. They lived through consciousness. The Tower of Babel and all that was built. And then the flood. And then there was the law given. Then the dispensation of the law lasted so long. And then Jesus came. And then now we're not under the law. We're under grace. So here is a dispensation. These things are cut out in different periods. Now there is coming the tribulation period. It's called the 70th week of Daniel. 69 of those weeks have been fulfilled, and God gives us dates in the book of Daniel of when to start counting. He says, when the going forth of the decree to build the wall until, I forgot what it was, until the building of it, the finish of it, there's so many days, and from there's so many days. I mean, God writes it in the Word of God that if we'd study it, we could find it. I'd give you the number, but I ain't studied it. But so the reason I'm saying this is that some folks believe that the church took the place of Israel. And I see people get on the internet, and I'll see people, I hear preachers or somebody say, why do y'all keep saying God doing, Israel's finished, God is done with Israel, Israel has nothing to do, let's don't help Israel, quit sending money to Israel, quit. I mean, people just hate Israel. And by the way, Semitism is as high now, as they said, as it's ever been. They're marching in New York right now, and they're trying to, I forgot the phrase that they were using, which means violence against for the Palestinians. They want to stop, and they're standing against Israel, is the way I understand it. And I think they're getting ready to pass a law to try to, that the phrase that they're using will become a dangerous thing that you're not allowed to say, but whatever. I don't want to get off here too far. But I'm just saying that you say, well, why is all this about Israel? The church age will be done. God will be done with you. That's why we will not go through it, because God says it is not appointed for wrath to the people of God. He says to the Philadelphia church, and from that hour I will keep you from the hour of suffering and hurt and danger and temptation. Somebody said, well, why, if we're the church, why won't we go through it? Some people believe the church is going to come right in the middle of it. Now, look, if anybody was as close to the truth, it would be those in the middle. But the post, I absolutely don't see it, because he's not going to come take us and then come right back down. No. And so if you're in the middle of it, the 3.5 years, which would be the most easiest part of the tribulation period, it will happen. when the Antichrist sets in on the throne and declares himself to be God. And by the way, there'll be all kinds of powers and miracles. They'll be able to send out fire. They'll be able to do all. I'll tell you, man, it's going to be a crazy time of the year. Man, I got to move on here. So this dispensation period that we're moving in, since 1948, that is the prize pig. 1948, when he was back in World War II and every other catastrophe that the world, the bubonic plague, the black plague, everything that's ever happened on this planet that we know of. We could say, well, anybody would have thought that the Lord would have come back. I would have said if I was in the middle of the war and the Nazis trying to take over the war, I would have said, man, this has got to be the end of the world. 6 million Jews killed? Millions of people killed? I mean, the world just seemed like it was just in a hole that they couldn't get out of. But Israel was still not a nation. They didn't have their own place. But in 1948... the Brits, and they signed over the Declaration or whatever they call it, and now it's your land. And they got all of it in 1967, but they become a nation in 1948. Okay, at 1948, the clock starts ticking. Jesus said that when you see these things coming to pass, that generation shall not pass. Mom, stand up, please. Glenda, take your time now. I know your knees are hurting. Mom was born, if you don't mind me saying, she's a beautiful 1947. All right, you can sit down. That's the generation. That's the generation that was alive and saw it. I'm holding on to Mama staying alive till Jesus comes. I'll tell you that. He said that generation will not pass. And so, now check this out. In 1940, look, if I can keep going here, you can keep listening, please. Let me get this thing done, get it on CD, and I'm going on vacation. Amen. We'll take an offering up here in a minute. Preachers always wanting money. I told you, that's why I don't like to go to church. 1948. Bro, Eric, put that other one up here if you would, buddy. 1948. I want to show you something here. It just blows my mind. Since when you look with AI is cool. Amen. It just knows everything. And I tell you what, I believe AI right now is saved. <Isn't it? laughs> Brother Kevin said, hallelujah, I need to make some outlines with it. But you asked the question, man. It's like, man, that doctrine's right with it. And I'm not, you know, just forget I said that. I'm not going all on that, but. Looking back into the 1800s, you cannot find where the Feast of Trumpets, when it starts, falls exactly 7 years that this one starts. Until this one that's coming up. Now, wait a minute. There's been six of them. There's been six of them. And guess when the first one started after 1948? There's been six after 1948. And the last one, September the 22nd, the evening, from here to here, which is October the 4th, is exactly 7 years. And it's not going to happen again. And the days add up to the days that Daniel said. And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. Would you set that up for Brother Eric? And so, when you count the days between the evening of the 22nd and 24th for 7 years, it's October the 14th. And guess how many days that is? That's how many days between this September until the Feast of the Tabernacles. Or the feast of the end of the Feast of the Atonement, the Feast of the Tabernacle when the Lord returns. Okay. There's two places where the Bible talks about days. The first part of the tribulation is 1,260 days. Write this down. I'm going to read it to you. Revelation 11 is right in the middle of tribulation. This is what he says. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles and the holy city. They shall tread underfoot 42 months, 3.5 years. Revelation 13:5, and there was given to him a mouth, this is talking about the Antichrist, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That is 3.5 years. Daniel, the Old Testament, Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time, 3.5 years. So that's 1260 days. Now, there's another number given to us that is 1290 days. It is the second part of the tribulation. Sister Joe D., you with me? Listen. Here's what he says. And from the time of the daily sacrifice, they'll allow Israel to start sacrificing the animals. From the time it shall be taken away unto the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there is 1290 days. That is Daniel 11. So there's 1290 days when the Antichrist sets in the throne or sets on that throne and declares himself to be God. It begins the great tribulation period and Israel begins to flee, where Jesus says, if you don't let your, hopefully your flight won't be in the winter, and woe to those that get sucked unto babes and they flee into the mountains, and the Bible says the earth helps him and opens up, and as a flood of the devil sends a flood. Isn't that interesting that he has power over the waters to try to destroy her? The earth opens up and swallows that water. You say, man, this is a movie. You see now where they get their stuff at. And so, but then there's some extra days here. I don't want to get into all this. Okay, there's a couple of men. One, I don't know the guy's last name. He's on the Daily Voice, God's Daily Voice. He's from Africa. And very distinguished guy. He's probably 60-something years old. Said the Lord gave him a vision. I was listening to his testimony. And most of the time when I hear that stuff, I'm like, you know, y'all a little out there, I think, sometimes. But I do believe that the Lord does give us dreams and he gives us visions. And there will be two witnesses that God sends to this planet. You will see some supernatural things during the tribulation period. It's coming to the earth. Amen. And I believe, let me just say this for extra change, that the Hadron Collider that's miles long, that they're trying to find the God particle where they have, they believe that is the particle that has, that they're going to be able to find the beginning of life, that they say that they're able to open up portals, other dimensions. They're doing it now. You ought to see their motto, their monument they have. It's the God, I forget, did anybody know the name of that God? Shiva, yeah, the God of chaos. You know, she's standing there like this and got all those things around her. Don't ever have one of those sitting on your front porch. I think I saw one in my subdivision the other day. Our new neighbors moved in. I'm thinking, man, I'd rather you get Buddha out there than that. And so I'm not for Buddha. Amen. Hopefully he got saved. But this guy had it. He said that God told him when he was coming. And, of course, everybody going to say God's coming here. You're going to hear everybody say this. Everybody, you, everything you hear, oh, God told me. So, we don't know. I'm just giving you the facts, showing you the Bible, and connecting it with the feast. Okay, so that's all we're doing here. We're looking at some stuff. This guy said, look, God told him that in 2026, the Olympics will not go on in America. I think they're in California. They said it won't because there'll be such disruption of what happens this fall. Dr. Tom Horn, I love this guy. And he's kind of a little bit of a charismatic there, but he had a dream, and he had a dream years ago. He just recently died, and I taught on this. I taught about on much of this stuff, but he talked about he had a dream about the asteroid Apophis. You ain't heard that in a while, but it's still rolling. And it's supposed to be near the Earth in 2029 on April the 13th. Guess what? How long from the Feast of Trumpets is April the 13th, 2029 is? 1260 days. He said, and he wrote this book, I was listening, I love to hear him talk, he's wrote some great stuff, that he has a friend that works at NASA and said, don't believe the nearness or the further away that this Apophis asteroid is. They're saying it's going to come within 19,000 miles. That's close. I mean, that is close. And it's, you know, it's 3 years out. I mean, I don't know. You say, well, what does that got to do with anything? John saw a burning mountain. And there was another one. An angel cast, a fire down upon the planet or something. That could be nuclear bombs. It could be supernatural events, whatever. But all the waters were destroyed. Nobody could drink the waters in that part where this thing hits. And so you say, well, you think it'll happen? I don't know. But man, this stuff is weird lining up. Amen. So Apophis in ancient Egyptian mythology, they call it Apophis. You know what it means? It means a giant serpent. It means demon of darkness. It means embodiment of chaos. And the Hadron Collider over in Switzerland, the god of chaos, is what they... I mean, they had a worship service and everything when they opened this thing up, and they're building some more. They believe that people are talking to them and trying to communicate, and they believe soon they'll be able to send something to them or them coming to us. You heard about the other comet that one scientist said, oh, it could be an alien ship coming to, you know, everybody's making sense. He's a fruitcake, he's a nut, whatever, but it's out there now. Amen. And I can't handle that stuff. I fall down and roll around my eyes back of my head. But, you know, when you talk about this demon of darkness, here's what Jude said, raging, talking about false teachers in Jude 1:13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars is what they are, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The UN will meet this September. They've already meeting to have a special meeting because Israel wants to take over Gaza. And, you know, the world's about to kill themselves over this. And so they're going to have another meeting. In this meeting, it's a scheduled meeting in September, and it lasts for a certain amount of days, that this is on the schedule to speak about Israel and the peace treaty. Does anybody that think that there won't be, and I'm just saying, this is my opinion, I think that Trump's going to have peace with Russia and Ukraine. I believe it's going to happen. Because if this is going to have, if this is the time the Lord's coming, the Bible says they will say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. They'll give Trump maybe the Nobel Peace Prize. And everybody say, man, ain't the planet great? Isn't everything great? And then sudden destruction. You know, you say, well, you think this is it? I don't know. If a generation is 80 years, something got to happen in the next 3 years. Now, I'm not trying to get y'all get stirred up and go burn down a building somewhere. Amen. You know what you already got us fired up. And so Trump is working to bring Russia peace, Ukraine peace. He did stop the war with Iran and all those missiles. He brought peace to the country of India. I forgot, was it Pakistan or Cambodia or something like that, the two presidents? Pakistan. And then the Cambodia, Cambodian president is someone else, the Armenian or something like that. I don't know. He brought peace there. Have you noticed that the military are moving into our big cities? And some, people that think, they jump off the ledge and saying they're preparing for the chaos that's coming after the rapture. I don't know. Okay, let me give you some more evidence here. Second Peter 3:8. Peter says, one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. How many days are in creation? 6 days, seven days with the day of rest, 6 days. Day one, day two, day three, day four. Day six is when he made and created man. Six is the number of man. Peter is telling us that one day is 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. We believe that the planet Earth is, the human race on planet Earth is no older than 6,000 years. You say, well, no, it's 63 billion years of age. Now, God may have made an old Earth. And who knows? But we know when it was created. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, and the Spirit of God moved across the face of the deep, so there was water there. And God said, let there be light and land and then man. We are right now at 6,000 years. And if the planet is only going to go for 6,000 years, we are at the end of it. So, and then 7 is the perfect number. So now listen to this. Every 2,000 years, there's something significant that happens on this planet. Number one, from Adam to Abraham was 2,000 years. Sister Trish, you with me? From Abraham to the ministry of Jesus is 2,000 years. And from Jesus' death to right now is 2,000 years. Well, not right now. It's 2025 right now. Now, if you add 7 years to 2025, you come with 2032. And so there's been this lack of understanding when Jesus was born, when the Gregorian calendar started. I've always learned that it was either 6 years before the calendar, so it could be 6 BC, and then the calendar started 0 AD and went on. Or it could be even 3 years after that they started it. So if Jesus was crucified, and I believe, and some others that I've read made me believe that Jesus was crucified 32 AD. He was 33 and a half years of age when he died, so the calendar must have started 1 BC. And so if you take 2,000 years if you take 2,000 years from his death at 32 and add 2,000 years more, it brings you to 2032, which is 7 years after the trumpet sounds. Okay, I'm done. Emma, you come here. I want to say something here. We could talk more and things, but let's finish it. Let's be finished here. I want to give you a couple of things. Number one, the Lord does not want you to be surprised. In all of my life, I've always thought this is just going to be the luck of the draw. No. Jesus said, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. God opened up the book of Revelation like never before. I've never seen Revelation preached, Brother Dude, in the last 15 years, last 10 years, last 5 years, as we've seen today. When I was a kid, man, we thought, man, you're going to preach out of Revelation? Who knew anything about it? Now, I know like Hal Lindsey and those. We've all, when we were young, we loved prophetic eschatology, end time things. We've all loved those things, but no one really could make sense of it. There's always helicopters, and we've always looked at it. But brother, today it's as clear. I mean, there are people now scanning their palms to pay for things. I mean, they're doing stuff like that all. They're doing stuff like that all the time. And I believe that AI is much, much, much more intelligent than they have allowed to get out. First Thessalonians 5:1. But of the times and the seasons, brother, you have no need that I write unto you. Paul said, "Look, I don't even have to write to y'all anything because you know what time we're in. For yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Amen. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, when they shall not escape." The Bible talks about what kind of things are going to happen. Well, you'll see waves foaming, earthquakes, volcanoes. You see those things ramping up today like never before. But brethren, listen, you are not of the darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Right. Don't ever come to me and say, "Well, brother Kevin, God comes as a thief of the night." Not what he did. If I'm sleeping, yeah. But I'm saved and I'm watching. He ain't going to catch me as a thief in the night. And that's what he said to you if you're saved. If you'll be watching, he said, "I do this so when it happens, you will know that I am God." He's not going to try to hide. He's going to try to put cards behind his back. "I caught you." No, he wants you to know the hour's coming. If it's coming to this September, he brought you to this church to hear you need to get saved or you need to clean your life up for the glory of the Lord. He says, you are children of the light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. He's saying, look, don't fall asleep as a Christian. Don't get off the path. Don't quit following God. Don't quit your Bible reading. Don't quit your praying. Don't quit coming to church. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, as you see that day approaching, go to church even more. Yeah. And I was thinking about having a revival on the 22nd. He said, but let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep in the night, they are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet and hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath. You ain't going through the tribulation period, as far as I'm concerned, what I read in scriptures. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we should live. Whether we're dead or alive at his coming, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort you one another with these words together and edify one another even as you do. And so if he was saying that, look, get ready, you're going through the tribulation period, and then he says, y'all be comforted with these words, that wouldn't make any sense. But if he says, you watch, I'm coming to get you to save you from the wrath that's to come, that ought to bring you some comfort. Number one, God doesn't want you to be surprised. Number two, Jesus wants you to be prepared. The saved, you that have let go of the plow sometime in your life, you that have quit living for God, you that have thought that God has forgot about the world and things are going to just keep on going the way they are. I don't care if God doesn't come this September or not. I don't want to have that attitude. Well, it didn't come in September, so who knows? Because that's what he said that we would say, or people would say. He delayeth his coming. When's he going to come? I've heard the Lord's coming. And look at the convergence of all the things that you are hearing from the Bible, not media. The Bible. Listen, some of y'all that are working and serving God and giving, listen, your payday may be around the corner in 36 days. Amen. You need to get right with your family, get right with your husband, get right with your wife, get right with Jesus. Yes. He wants you prepared. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife, The church hath made herself ready. John said, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Church, John is saying, you stay ready. You don't want to be sitting there running through pornography. And all of a sudden, whoom, God catches you and you stand around saying, boy, I would really be enjoying this. But boy, he caught me at a bad time. Get it confessed. Get it confessed. Be honest with God. Some of those men and women having affairs on God, having affairs on each other. Amen. Putting that bottle to your mouth and that joint to your mouth. Amen. The Bible says you be sober. You ain't going to be sober all drunk up on this world and in love with cars and money and houses. Get right and get ready. Amen. Yes, sir. Your excuses stop here. They got to put you in a wheelchair and bring you to church. Do it. You finish strong. Not only does the Lord not want you surprised, the Lord wants you prepared, and then lastly, the Lord wants you to make it in. He wants you to get in. He wants you to make it in. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. God ain't trying to catch you to destroy you. He's a gracious God that bled and died on an old rugged cross and says, come unto me. Danger's coming. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. Put this world behind you. Pull yourself up from the roots that you've grown in this world. You were a pilgrim passing through and your hour may be coming. God doesn't want to shut the door on you, but there's coming a moment where the door will be closed. In the ark, brother, dude, the Bible says that God shut the door, Brother Brian, didn't he? He told them, said, come into the ark. He was in the ark. He didn't say, y'all go in. And he shut the door. Archaeologists have found that the door was still closed on the ark back in the early 1900s, that the top had been broken up and lifted up. It looked like they all came out that way. You get in, baby, you ain't getting out. I love that. Amen. I'll give you this. Sister, you help me out a little bit. Friend, I want this message in a long time. As a pastor, my pastor days may be over. My responsibility may be over. And I want my grandkids, Gabriel, Lily, I wanted y'all here because you need to make sure you're saved. My church, this might be the very last time that God gets your heart and grips it before this whole world makes it so cold you won't even respond to God. I'll give you this. Sister Ellie, little Ellie, she was 3 years of age. And at that point, I'd already willed everything I have, what Granny has and what her mom and dad has, she gets everything. And if everybody wants it, no, I'm joking. But she lived with us so much and we got so attached to her. And, you know, she's so, you know, a kid, they're innocent. They're naive. They trust you, man, they'll trust you. You're the greatest love in their life. We went into my garage one day, and I've got this giant one that had two-car door. It's wooden. It ain't like the little baby metal ones. It's a wooden. Boom, when it hits. So we went in, and I thought she had come out. Well, I went out, and I hit the door. And that door came down, and I turned around. There was about that much left, and she was, and it slammed, and she started screaming. And I panicked because I didn't have a remote. I was about to pull the roof off that thing. And I ran around there and finally got the door open, and man, her tears were falling down and she was crying. She freaked. And I freaked because I felt like I broke her heart. I didn't want her being that fear. I mean, today it still hurts my gut to think that little baby had to face that. I hate that, man. I hate that stuff. And I told her, I said, look, there's the button right there. If that ever happens to you again, just walk up here to your little baby finger and push it, and that door will come open. You don't have to be worried. God ain't trying to close the door on you. He ain't trying to surprise you, to shut you out of heaven. Well, God, I'm a sinner. I'm the worst sinner there is. It don't matter. I am too. But He wants you to get in. And you have the key to it. You got the button. You can open the door. He stands and knocks at the door. You're the one that needs to open the door. Isn't that something, that He'd give me the key? And He gives you the key. Let's all stand. I know there's been a lot of preaching, a lot of stuff being said there. Maybe you're here and you ain't saved. Dear friend, why don't you please come and get and receive the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you're a Christian, why don't you come? If you need to deal with some things in your life and get things ready. Boy, what a moment. What a moment that's going to be. People talk about sometimes, they say, Brother Kevin, they say, boy, I tell you what, it's going to be scary standing before the Lord. Sure is. Right now would be a good time to get things right before you stand before Him. You say, man, I just got in. It's a good time to get in. The Lord says that people give, if they come in the early part of the day to work, He said, I give you a penny. If you come at the last hour and you only get to work 1 hour, He said, I'll give you a penny. I'll give you all the same. You get salvation. If you get saved and come to heaven, you'll get as much as I will. Hallelujah. You get all of Christ. Now, friend, don't stand there and act like you don't need Jesus. You know what's been going on in your life. You better get serious about God. You better get serious right now. Take somebody by the hand and say, come on, let's go pray. I need to get saved. Come on. Don't even wait. You're going to be left behind. You're going to be left behind. The Bible says if you had the opportunity to receive the Lord and you rejected the love of the truth, the Bible says that God will send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie and be damned. If you won't believe what I'm preaching here, you're going to believe the lie that's coming when we're gone. You better get in now. You better get in now. Sister Emmy, you sing.